Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12, we are beginning with verse 12. Now, on the last broadcast, we had talked about the material down through verse 12, but I want to begin here and just review very briefly. You remember that Satan, earlier in this chapter, has been cast out of. His place is no longer available in heaven. And I think sometimes people get caught up in stereotypical thinking. The devil's in hell. No, he's not. No, he's not. He's loose and doing very well, thank you. It is not for some time yet that that destination receives him. You will find that he is cast out from the presence of God. He's no longer able to accuse the brethren before the throne of God in verse 10. The brethren overcome him in verse 11 by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And you'll find then in verse 12, therefore, this is something that is enjoined, or the people then reading are called upon to rejoice. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. It's interesting, I point this out just in passing. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. One of the things that the environmental activists, the drum they beat, Earth is running out of her resources, and we're going to run out of energy and one thing and another. And as that contention is continually fanned, we find people looking about for other means, other sources of materiel to continue our way of life on Earth. And while some would look to the heavens and the possibility of mining asteroids, there are others who say, well, we don't have to go to outer space. We could go to the sea and harvest the, and oddly enough, in some of the trenches and some of the places in the depths of the sea, there are nodules of raw minerals just and metals just lying on the ocean's floor, which has prompted some to consider the possibility of starting deep sea mining, deep sea habitat, places of for people to live who are working the systems of extraction of minerals from seawater. Apparently, there are great riches wrapped up in the waters of the seas around the world. And I think that that kind of ties in. If you will note, please, several times we have seen references to those who live in the sea, as though there are those there who have sentience, those who are now. Some people, I suppose, could jump off the deep end and say, oh, yeah, well, there are lots of things that we don't know about the sea. There could be, don't go there, okay? I think it's simply to say, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. I think probably the most direct way is simply to make it refer to everybody that lives on the earth. There are those who live in aquatic situations and houseboats and things like that. I think if you want to go further than that, the possibility and the time, the setting of this, those who would be living on the sea or under the sea, the point is there's no exclusion anywhere on the earth, okay? Woe to those who inhabit this planet. That's perhaps the simplest way to say it. For the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth, he knows, he hath but a short time. And when the dragon, this is verse 13, when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which had brought forth the man-child. Now, as we look back at the vision, these wonders that John has seen in the heavens in this vision, the man-child obviously answers in identity to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who is to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And according to the scripture, he is even now seated at the right hand of the majesty on high, where he, ever living, makes intercession for us. Now, Satan comes to the point where he decides he's going to persecute Israel. As we pointed out, the very existence of Israel is an affront to Satan, because it underlines its continued existence, underlines the faithfulness of God to the promises he's given. Now, with that in mind, let me point something out. Anti-Semitism, or this craziness, this hatred, unreasoning, unfounded hatred of the Jewish people, always has, every time there's an outbreak of it, it is always instigated by the devil. Now, let me say something. There are those who would claim to be Christians. There are certain religious political cults, supremacists of one type or another, who claim to be Christian, who also have a hatred for the Jews, have a hatred for black people, and still call themselves Christians. I hope you understand where that's coming from. It is certainly not based in the Bible. It's certainly not originating with God. It does, however, clearly trace its roots to the influence of the devil. When the dragon saw that he was cast under the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times, and half a time from the face of the serpent. You say, well, what's this business of time, times, and half time? A year, 2 years, and half a year, 3.5 years. It coincides with the 1,260 days back in verse 6. Now, I think it's worth noting that the Lord permits Israel to flee to a place of refuge. He permits that. You remember that in Exodus chapter 19 and verse 4, the Lord reminds Israel that he had brought them to himself. He had borne them on eagles' wings and brought them to himself. And the promise still stands. You remember in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. Now, I realize that text is used in some of the old Southern Gospel quartet music. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, to wait. The line from that, of course, teach me, Lord, to wait, is that which is added to it by the lyricists. But they that wait upon the Lord, well, that is applicable to any of God's people. But it applies specifically in context to Israel. And you will note here, he says in verse 14, as a result of the persecution, the woman was given 2 wings as of a great eagle, that she may fly into the wilderness. It's a rapid deployment. They get out of town quick, okay, for the last 3.5 years. In the book of Daniel, the last 3.5 years of the tribulation are referred to as the time of Jacob's trouble, or the time of the great tribulation. You have tribulation for 7 years, but the great tribulation, the time of Jacob's trouble, specifically focuses on the last 3.5 years of the tribulation. Now, verse 15, the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. Now, there are there are others, and I want to make this little disclaimer, if you want to call it that. Because of the nature and the constraints of time, the nature of this broadcast, I hope you understand, I am not even going to pretend to be able to cover every interpretation that has been put forth on the different passages here in Revelation. What I am giving you is what is distilled from the best of the best interpretations. I'm not going to give some of these crazy interpretations any free publicity. If people who hold these can't even pronounce the word, these idiotic kind of interpretations want to promote them, they can get their own program to do that and they can pay the bill. But what I'm giving you is what the Bible says, okay? I've challenged you, I've urged you from day one of these broadcasts to follow along with the Bible and see what the Bible says, and then do what the Bible says. But you do have the responsibility to determine that, to discern that. Don't believe anything I say simply because, oh, that sounds logical, or because I said it, but because this is what the Bible says. Now, these interpretations on this water, number one, rule of interpretation, always take the Bible literally unless there's something in the context that demands that you recognize it as figurative or symbolic language. In this case, the sermon cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that is, in pursuit of her. Now, I think probably the most straightforward of this, of these interpretations, is simply that he does cause a flood of water to come washing down on this caravan of people, these refugees, emigres, to wash them away, to wipe them out. And God sees to it. You will notice it says the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. It is true that in the Sinai, that part of the world, that is usually referred to in the Bible, they talk about the wilderness. We're talking about the Negev, the desert area in the southern part of Israel, down in the Sinai Peninsula. In that area, flash flooding is a very real problem. It happens without any warning. At the same time, you will find in the Bible biblical accounts of the earth swallowing up, for instance, opening up and swallowing Dathan and Abiram and Korah. You'll find other instances where the earth opened her mouth to deliver God's people or to swallow up the enemies of God's people. And here we have what appears to be the opening up of a sinkhole that simply swallows up this flood of water before it can reach God's people. That's interpretation number one. Interpretation number two, persecution, pogroms of persecution, hunting down. Back during the Middle Ages in Tsarist Russia, Jews were hunted like animals. They would launch government-sanctioned, they called them pogroms. I'm not mispronouncing that. P-O-G-R-A-M, pogrom, for the purpose of wiping them out. And if you will, that was like a trial run on what the devil was going to do into trying to destroy the Jews. Now, whether or not it is persecution or whether or not it is a literal flood, the point is it's directed against Israel and there is intervention and Israel is spared. Well, that's it for today. I'm out of time and I hope you'll join me the next time for the next edition of The Bible Says.